Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub.
Hello and welcome back to The Moon Underwater, where we are with Prime Mutton designing his dream pub, and it's a cracking beer lineup so far, both in draft and in bottle and can. But before the break, we had Dan giving us our pub quiz that is sheep-themed.
Sheep-themed, yeah. Okay, so question one was, in 1977, which band released an album called Animals, which had track titles that included the names of animals in this order? Pigs, dogs, pigs, sheep, pigs. Any ideas, either of you? Quite a very big 70s band.
I'm going to have a guess, and it really is a guess. Mm. It's Black Sabbath.
Okay, I'm going to go Led Zeppelin.
Okay. It's neither. It has got a colour in the title, if that helps, in the name.
Deep Purple?
No. Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd, okay.
Mm. Pink Floyd. Sheep, which was the sheep one, lasted 10 minutes and 20 seconds. When they toured it in 1974, apparently it was called Raving and Drooling because it features featured phrases from the DJ Jimmy Young, and it was that was Roger Waters' idea of what a man raving and drooling would sound like. So, yeah, I've never heard that album.
I'm embarrassed to say I have it on my iTunes.
Never really got into Pink Floyd.
No. Apart from The Wall, which I probably know a lot of the words to, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, question two. Who is Clarice Starling hunting in the film and the book Silence of the Lambs?
Not a big film and TV man, but I guess Hannibal Lecter, because it's the only character I know.
Only character I can think of, but it's obviously not that the way you're talking. A lamb?
So she goes to Hannibal Lecter to get help to track down a serial killer called Buffalo Bill.
Oh, of course it was. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Buffalo Bill. Okay.
No points.
And the literature one. Our party's name's after George Orwell's essay, The Moon Underwater, but he wrote Animal Farm. What phrase were the sheep often bleating during that novel?
I'm stumped again. Ideas.
It's so long since I've read it. Annoyingly, last year, my wife and daughter went to see the stage play of it, but I didn't go. So that's my fault.
It's something to do with legs.
Oh, is it the four legs good? I'm not getting a point for that,
Four legs good, two legs bad.
Yes.
And at the end, four legs good, two legs better, when they've been firmly corrupted by Napoleon. I talk as if I know the novel. I happen to have just read it to my son the other week. But
nil-nil draw.
Takes it to corners, run down the clock. Okay. Mm. Well.
Yeah, sorry.
It's good that you gave us a challenging one now and then. But
hopefully the listeners might have
The listeners are more intelligent than me.
Yeah, they're quite good, aren't they?
Yeah, fabulous. Okay, a rather dour result from that quiz. Mutton, you get two spirits in your Moon Underwater. Are you a spirits drinker in general?
Not much. I do like a brandy after a meal, and particularly these late, long-drawn-out Spanish dinners, because I go to Spain a lot. I organise events there, and Man City often get drawn against Spanish clubs. So after a nice piece of meat and some red wine, I like to finish off with a Cardinal Mendoza brandy. Now, I used to order whatever brandy they recommended, and then somebody cracked a joke about, well, if you feel guilty about having this at the end of the meal, and don't forget in Spain, you get huge hand-poured measures. Just think of it as taking confession with the Cardinal, and then everything will be all right. And it is slightly sweeter than a lot of the other Spanish brandies. In fact, Spanish brandy generally is a bit sweeter than French. But I actually found that after a big meal, it went down pretty well.
Wonderful. I had my first brandy in a long time over the Christmas period, and I quite enjoyed it.
I'm quite into partial? It. Yeah, I've got quite into it over the last year. Well, brandy and cognac, but I don't know much about this one at all, Cardinal Mendoza. What makes it, you know, what's it good for you?
Slightly sweet, but not very sweet. It's very well-rounded in terms of the oakiness, because don't forget, when you have a brandy from Spain, an Armagnac, a cognac, the reason it's not grappa is basically it's because it's oaked. It's oaked. Brandy is oaked grappa. Sometimes they can be too oaky, and you can see they're a ridiculously dark colour. This one's just quite well balanced, in my opinion. Obviously, the best brandies are the French ones, and they're a lot drier. But if you're in Spain, this one I tend to find, given that I'm not a big sweets person and tend not to have dessert. Well, it's a bit like having an alcoholic dessert after a big steak or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I find it. And I mean, this is matured in sherry cask as well, yes, I guess. So that makes a difference to the taste.
Yeah, all Spanish brandies, or at least all the ones I've tried, are basically sherry brandies.
Mm.
Wonderful. Okay, yeah, so that's one of your choices. Okay, then. What's your other one?
My other choice is Powers Irish Whiskey. Huh? Obviously, the top whiskies are the single malts from Scotland. However, if you're at the pub drinking beer, I don't think they're actually a good thing to have alongside a beer or before a beer. They might be good at the end of the evening, although to be honest, if I were given a choice as to when to have a single malt, it would be after a good dinner. But something that I started doing the first time I went to Ireland, because people suggested it, Irish people, is that given you have to wait a while for your pint to be poured, settled, surged, and then to settle again, a popular thing is to have a whiskey just to start off whilst you're waiting, because the second pint you can order when your previous pint's three quarters of the way down.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, you've got this sort of awkward wait. And I tried all the Irish whiskies, the Paddy's, the Bushmills, the Jameson, and the Powers. And the Powers, I just thought, had the best flavour, was smoother. I found Paddy's too harsh. Jameson's is okay, but there were so many flavours in Powers that I enjoyed that it became my choice of whiskey if I were doing that. I only have one at the beginning of the session at a pub, because it gets too much if you're having a whiskey before every pint. And the other good thing is I like the odd Irish coffee. It goes well in Irish coffee. And so in my pub, I'd have something that's versatile like that.
Yeah. No, that's
very
a terrific
well
choice.
Thought through. It goes back to the 1800s.
Right.
But they say perfected in the 2020s, which I quite like. Mm. Like for 200 years, and then just in the last few years, like, that's it, we've done it now.
God, it's not a great work ethic if it's taken a couple hundred years.
Too long.
And then now you're going, it's done. If you're saying, like, we're constantly perfecting it, that's fine. But that's saying, like, we've just been lazy for a while, it sounds.
And also just sort of, there's a sort of thing of, well, we're never going to quite make perfection. That's what they've probably been saying for about 200 years. And then, someone's gone, oh, no, that is it now. We can't
Fair enough. You've got to call it as it lies, I guess.
Yeah. And the taste. Now, I've got here, me and Robbie are not really whiskey drinkers, are we? So I'd like to get into whiskey. I need to, I've been given a nice bottle of Glenfiddich I need to try and crack into and work on. But it says here, candied ginger with orange peel, clove spice, and peppermint, caramelized apples with brown sugar, sweet cereal, and red licorice notes build while the vanilla and charred oak influences work in balance with the rye signature spices. That sounds like quite a complex
taste. Of flavors to pick out there, and it's something I only have occasionally, but obviously I couldn't identify all of that before.
Mm.
Maybe I was so excited about my first Guinness arriving in Ireland. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Terrific. It's a lovely, it's a lovely colour, quite a nice sort of caramel kind of colour as well.
Lovely.
It's probably why it goes well in Irish coffee, because there's always a bit of sweetness because you need to put sugar in an Irish coffee to get the cream to float.
Mm.
And probably A means you have to put less sugar in if the whiskey has a hint of sweetness to it anyway. And it probably helps the flavour as well in making. I don't know if anybody's ever tried making an Irish coffee with single malt, but it would probably have a funny taste, especially if it were one of the Islay smoky ones.
Mm. And you'd be fine with people ordering Irish coffees in your bar? That's not, not a problem.
Absolutely. Especially if the bar sold food, it's something nice to have at the end of the...
Yeah.
I remember my mum and dad went through a phase of having them after a Sunday lunch.
Having Irish coffee?
Yeah, served in sort of a wine glass.
Oh.
Yeah. When I think back to it now, it seems really strange.
Is that how it was? Were they asking for it in a wine glass? Or was
No, I mean, at home they were doing it.
Oh, at home they were doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I think they were at a pub.
And I need to ask my mum how she used to make that.
Yeah. You want to try it?
I wonder how expert they were looking back on it.
It's actually surprisingly difficult to make a good one where the cream floats perfectly on top.
Mm.
I think in Ireland I've always seen some very heavy whipped cream used on top of that. Not the stuff you squirt from cans.
Well, I suspect there might have been a bit of stuff squirted from cans. That's what I reckon might have been a bit of that going
Often
on.
The case, but in Ireland the cream's so thick they have to spoon it on top of the coffee, but actually sugar's the secret.
Mm.
And my understanding is that if you use tea maria instead of whiskey, you cannot fail to get the cream to float. It's that sweet.
Actually, I bet my mum used tea maria. I feel like she definitely had a tea maria phase in the 80s.
I enjoy a coffee with Baileys in. That's my preferred mix. That's certainly sweet enough.
No one's chosen Baileys ever in the moon.
Oh,
Seems like an omission.
Like a clerical error.
Yeah.
Right, Martin, you get to put one CD or mini disc into the pub jukebox. What would you like it to be?
I would like it to be the original Fleetwood Mac album by Fleetwood Mac. It's just so synonymous with having a good time and beer for me. And I love everything by Fleetwood Mac whilst Peter Green was there, not so keen on what they produced afterwards.
Have you got a favourite Fleetwood Mac album?
I've never really got into Fleetwood Mac, and I really need to because Mutton's not the first person to choose it already. Well, rumours has been chosen.
But Fleetwood Mac, I'm not sure that has been.
Yeah, Eleanor Oldroyd and Jason Williamson both chose rumours. But I think the first person to choose Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, I don't. It's not an album I've listened to much of it at all. I can't think of it.
It's very, very bluesy, sort of a not old style, but 50s, 60s American blues melded with rock.
Okay.
For me, it's great to listen to with beer, wine, and I'd love to see it in a pub, but I can't remember ever seeing it in a pub. With one sort of exception, in Bristol, there's a very famous jazz and blues pub called the Old Duke. And sometimes the band, if they're playing covers, play stuff like that.
Okay. So have you gone off Fleetwood Mac by the time you get to Rumours and that sort of stuff? You're not having it?
No.
Wow. I haven't any of it.
That is controversial. indeed, yeah. I'm personally a Tango in the Night, Fleetwood Mac fan. I'm getting like proper unpopular.
Why not?
Unpopular opinion.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
Time now for a drink in time, Mutton. And that's where the Moon Underwater transports you through the very fabric of time to relive a drink that you've enjoyed in the past. When would you like to go back to and what were you drinking?
I'm going to go back to 2006, and I was drinking Guinness in Ireland, in Wexford. I had been on one of the islands off the south coast of Ireland in County Cork called Cape Clear. Had a bit of a heavy night, missed the ferry, had to pay 50 Irish pounds or euros back then to get the ferry back from the operator who did it privately. Started driving with a sore head, and I had a flight the next day to catch to Nice for a bridge tournament. And I thought, well, I was going to leave the car at Dublin Airport and then fly back to Dublin and take the car back home on the ferry. So I stopped in Wexford and I thought, well, I'll just go and have a bowl of pasta or something and have a quiet night. And I was walking back towards my hotel and I could hear some very nice Irish music being played. And I thought, well, I'll just go in for one. So I went in, absolutely belting pint of Guinness, a real creamer, as I'd say. Great band playing. And I got talking to the owner of the bar and his brother, who was working behind the bar. And before I knew it, they'd both bought me a pint. So I bought them one back. And I can't remember how many I had, But the next time I looked at my watch, it was 5 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, God, I've got to be at Dublin Airport for a midday flight. My alarm went off at 9 and I didn't hear it. The second alarm, I did hear it at 9:30. And it was starting to get tight for time. And there was a procession of vintage cars on the road, accompanied by police.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know if I'm still above the limit, so I'm just going to take it easy. And if I miss the flight, I miss the flight. So I got to the airport, got to the check-in desk 10 minutes before the flight was supposed to depart. Wow. And I said, sorry, I'm a bit late for this one. And the check-in agent said, why were you late? And I said, well,
it's like being at school.
I got caught up in a bit of a session last night, had a few too many pints and got up with a sore head too late in Wexford. And she said, right you are, sir, I'll put you on the next one. You'll have to change in London. I was expecting to have to buy another ticket, but I think maybe just being honest rather than saying bad traffic or something
wow.
got me into her good books.
That's incredible.
That is great. Yeah.
I love being quizzed on why you're late.
Yeah.
Is this on our list of accepted excuses?
I'm not sure that would happen these days because I think airlines have become a little bit less kind.
Well, I on the way to our to Romania once, actually for the wedding, actually, I would have been around the same time, 2005, 2006. And 2006 as well. We were in Hungary and we were getting a connecting flight there. And they'd emailed me, but I hadn't really looked at it. And they'd changed the connecting flight and there was almost no time between the two flights. So we'd got off our flight. We'd have to go walk around to another bit of the other terminal of the airport. Just strolling around, then we walked in and said, I can't see the flight up there. That's a little bit weird. And then or it wasn't at the time that we thought it was going to be. So we strolled up to check in and they just kind of looked at us like we were mad. And they started speaking to each other in Hungarian. And my wife knew a bit of Hungarian. And she said, oh God. I was like, what? She said, they're saying that this flight time's been changed and the flight is similarly to you. I think it was about 20 minutes till it left. And they were saying, shall we let them on or not? And then eventually they looked at us and went, yeah, go on then, hurry up. We kind of had to, they went, you got 15 minutes to get to the plane, basically. So, yeah.
Wow. That's nice stories of kind staff.
Yeah.
Very different from my recent experience on Ryanair.
Pub mates. Pick your dream pub companion, someone to spend an evening in the pub with. Pub mates. It can be anyone, Darren Bent or Danger Mouse. Pub mates. They could be alive or dead, but if they're dead, they'd be alive for this. Otherwise, you're drinking with a corpse. Pub mates. Pub mates, it's really, really great.
Now it is time, Mutton, for your dream pub companion. You get to take someone to the pub with you, to your Moon Underwater, someone alive or dead. Who are you going to pick?
Most definitely Anthony Bourdain, because I share so many of his ideas about what makes a good trip, what makes good food, what makes good drink. Good places to go to, good company, and one of his, shall we say, signature phrases has stuck with me forever, is that just go around without planning things because the best experiences happen by chance, by accident. If you plan your trip too rigorously, or rigidly rather, then the chances are that these incredible lifetime experiences just won't happen.
One of my best friends, Sally, worked with Anthony Bourdain for years on Parts Unknown and various other things.
The Emmy award winning Sally Freeman.
She won an Emmy for it, sort of thing. Yeah. Right. So she has enjoyed many, I think, of those sort of drink things. But yeah, I think it's someone that
she loves
a lot. I think it's a lot of people do. Not necessarily pick it here, but in things I've heard from people talk about, who would you love to have met was Anthony Bourdain. He's I guess, very sort of live for the moment sort of thing, isn't it? Which I think is clearly something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good fun night out, I imagine, as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing his film, I think it was Parts Unknown, from Iceland.
Right.
And Iceland is a place I've played bridge in several times, and his very late night out drinking remind me of the last night after the bridge in Iceland, almost to the letter. It was virtually an identical experience, and I thought, well, this man is so authentic, and I'm guessing, obviously I never met him, that his persona off camera isn't too different to what you see on camera.
I think so, yeah. That's a lovely choice.
When you're traveling around, do you kind of live by that? Because you're obviously going to lots of different countries. Do you just sort of think, right, I'm just going out, I'm going eating, I'm going drinking,
yeah,
and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, okay, sometimes you have to know the best places, but I don't go with a prep sheet and say, right, I'm going here, 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 and here. I keep them in mind, but when I arrive somewhere for the first time, I just start walking, go down every alley, nook and cranny, see what I can find. And then in terms of making a video or just a short Instagram reel, I go back to the places that I think were good in the first place. And sometimes if I can't find the right places, I just don't film. For example, before I came here, I was in Palermo, Sicily. A lot of interesting places, but it was all a bit modern, and I wanted to find some traditional street food venues where people were sort of frying up arancini rather than microwaving them, the Sicilian rice balls, and I couldn't find anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and have another go because it was a very short visit, but in an ideal world, I wander along every street and I eventually find places which are doing things in the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Oh, I'd love to do stuff like that.
If you could go to a city with Anthony Bourdain or somewhere in the world to go for a night out with him, where would you pick?
Probably Bangkok. Great food, great entertainment, and it's open quite late.
Yes, very important. A good choice.
You are barred.
Mutton. We've chosen what you want in your Moon Underwater, but now we've got to choose what you don't want. Is there anything that you would like to bar from your Moon Underwater?
Well, assuming smoking is barred, which is the norm in most countries now, I have a thing about chewing gum, and it comes from too many bad experiences in my earlier years of either getting it stuck on my shoes or, even worse, when you sit down on a seat at a bar, and then when you get up, you find there's chewing gum on the back of your trousers, and it's hard to get off, and it's wedged between your trousers and the seat, and you're trying to get up without a mess being created. There is one country in the world which does ban it, I believe, Singapore.
Yeah. Is there a... Because I've not had that happen for a while, but it used to be a bigger problem when I was younger. Maybe it's just I don't go to as many pubs where people stick the chewing gum on their chairs or not. Are there different places in the world that you find it's more of a problem?
Yeah, the less developed countries, places like India. Obviously not so much in the Islamic countries where you just don't go to a bar anyway.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's become less of a problem here. It's been a long time since I've had that problem. But I saw it in Zimbabwe a couple of years ago, in Turkey. I think people have learned here that it's a little bit discourteous to just plop it on the floor, or even worse, when they take it out of their mouth and just stick it on the side of the seat or under the seat for an unwary customer to get into a tangle with later.
So how are you, what's the policy here in your Moon Underwater? Is it, you're not allowed to have it on your person at all? You're going to be searching people at the door?
No, you're just not allowed to consume it chewing inside the pub.
Okay, so you can have it as long as it's kept out of sight.
Yeah.
I do remember years ago, Danny Baker doing a phone-in on things that got confiscated in football matches before he'd gone in, and also things that people had had managed to get into football grounds, whether they meant to or not. But someone was once, he said that someone had their chewing gum in sort of the 70s, had their chewing gum taken away. Well, no, you can't have that in the football ground. Like years before, you know, I mean, when people really were probably smuggling some dodgy stuff into football grounds. But yeah, chewing gum.
That sounds as much an offensive weapon as the fresh fruit in Monty Python sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Drink up, please. It's time.
Right, Martin, we're coming towards the end of your pub creation. It's been a terrific time, a terrific sounding pub, to be honest. Mm. I'd love to have been out at the bar of this. If people have enjoyed hearing you chat here, what can they do to get more of you in their life?
They can watch and subscribe to my YouTube channel, just called Prime Mutton. Some of it's to do with vlogging away days or even home days at Manchester City matches. But for people who are not into football, there's usually a food and drink segment at the beginning. Some of my vlogs are just about food and drink, so those would be of interest to most of the people listening to this podcast. Or you can check out my Instagram, which is called Prime Mutton 2000, in terms of the digits 2000, ABFR. A lot of people ask me what ABFR stands for. I remember it was anything but I can't remember what the FR is now because I created the account so long ago.
Any suggestions, please do send them Mutton's way and you can try and remember. That's fabulous, yeah. And they are terrific.
Yeah.
They're terrific videos. And they come up a lot. Like on before I really knew who you were, I'd see your face pop up quite a lot on them sort of thing. What made you start doing videos?
I got a bit bored during lockdown, as most of us did. And I thought, well, I have this wealth of travel experience and eating and drinking. And I thought, well, why don't I just share that with people? I've got nothing better to do. So I'll buy camera equipment and learn how to make decent films and little clips for Instagram. And my first attempts were pretty shocking. I mean, I've still got my original YouTube video up there just for, I don't know, just so that people can see how bad they were. But I've learned, and now I've produced some reasonably good.
Yeah, they're really enjoyable. Oh. Excellent. So we'd thoroughly recommend them. Go and have a look at Prime Mutton on YouTube and on the Instagram. Final thing to do then, Mutton, and that is name this pub. What are we going to call this wondrous place?
Okay, might be a little bit narcissistic, this, but I would call it the Prime Mutton. Maybe with a gap between prime and mutton, so it's a bit like the Prime Minister, maybe. But
yeah. Well, what's the sign going to be for it? What's going to be the, what are we going to make the pub sign look like?
Your head on a sheep?
Could be, but those of you who have ever had a drink at Huddersfield Station might know that there are two pubs there. One's the Transpennine Ale Trail recommended pub called the Head of Steam. But if you just turn out to the left, there's a place called the King's Head. Now, you'd expect a picture of Henry VIII to be on the pub placard, but it's not. It's Jimi Hendrix, the king. So I'd do something like that, maybe put Hendrix or another musician that I liked on the on the placard.
Lovely. Anthony Bourdain.
Splendid idea.
Excellent. Yes. Okay. Well, that has been a really enjoyable time. Thank you so much for coming to join us in the Moon Underwater. You've created a wonderful pub there, but you may now return to the other realm.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.